During this journey of Odysseus, who wanders on tumultuous sea, which hurls him on the beaches of one island to the other, the life of the hero of Homer's Odyssey is caught between two opposite forces of nature. On one side, homely life in company of the female beauty, who offers love and pleasure in nature's recluse, is contradicted by the spirit of the sun heroes, who seek restless adventure while seeking wealth, power, and conquest. They set sails from home to distant lands to wage wars, amass wealth, and win victory that will bring to their life food, drinks, and comforts, which only the gods in the heavens may enjoy. This contradiction between the desire for home that will bring experience of living a loving family life in peace and security, and the desire to overcome any unknown hands of destiny and win and conquer over others, including heaven, that bring dangers to life and keep man away from home, is the central issue of human life. This is the sun and the moon aspects of the human mind. Like the hero of Homer's epic, all human beings are caught in this duality of wandering between the islands of the sun and the moon. This contradiction is the source of life, as well as the power fueling the destructive nature in man. Most religions, epics, and mythologies of the world revolve around this contradiction between the sun and the moon, which feeds perpetual motion to the wheel of life, death, and resurrection. Odysseus is wandering between the islands of the sun heroes and the islands of the moon goddess is the same wanderings that have been told by most cultures and civilizations of the world. Escaping the tumultuous suffering that Odysseus was thrown into is a central theme of the major religions of the world. While caught between the sun and the moon, all creatures are destined to die and be reborn. Different religions have prescribed different paths of freedom from the suffering world to achieve immortal life. The Babylonian epic Gilgamesh is the oldest literature where one finds this theme. After experiencing the grief of death of his dear friend and mortal half, Enkidu, Gilgamesh has gone in search of immortality. He crossed the ocean of death and found the plant which could make him immortal. However, before he could eat the plant, a serpent came and became immortal instead. Gilgamesh was destined to die. Besides this duality between the sun and the moon, and the mortal's desire to gain immortality by finding the path of escape from the wheel, the duality between the mortal and divine counterparts resting as two in one is another central theme of mythologies, religions, and epics of the world. In Western mythology, the duality of the human and the divine in man is depicted in Prometheus and Orpheus. Prometheus is the creator of man in whom goddess Athena had breathed in life. He had stolen fire from the heaven to help his mortal creatures. As a punishment for this crime, he was left chained on the mountain, where an eagle came during the day to feed on his liver. In the evening, the sunbird left, and Prometheus's liver grew whole during the night. Next morning, the eagle returned to eat his liver again. This suffering continued without any halt, day after day. While bound, Prometheus suffered, the love-seeking beauties sat by his feet and offered their comforts and solace. In contrast to the rebellious Prometheus, who led human beings to defy the heaven, Orpheus was the heavenly musician whose music could enthrall the living world as well as the world of the dead. When Orpheus played his lyre, the whole nature danced in joy, and even the fiercest animals in the forest could be tamed. After his beloved Eurydice died of serpent bite, he went to the underworld to get her life back. With the power of his music, he could enthrall the queen of the dead and bring Eurydice back to life. But he could not keep the promise made to the queen of the dead that he won't look back to check if Eurydice was following him or not from the underworld. Eurydice had to return to the underworld again. After the loss of the beloved, Orpheus drew himself in a meditative world. The women, who liked sense-bound ecstasies and dance and revel, and sought love of Orpheus, decapitated him at the end and scattered his flesh and blood in nature. Nature regenerated from the heavenly musician's blood and flesh.
Orpheus brings back beauty from the world of the dead.
O virgin forest, when sun rays falling on sycamores, laurels, myrtles, and willows, quivering leaves, break nature's dream-veiled sleep. In home oaks, hazels, and ash trees, branching restless twigs, acorns, nuts, and seeds, blow melodies of the wind in heart's golden reeds. Firs and beeches trellis the leaves, the vines and the ivy rise to the height, to listen in the light the cosmic beeps. O goddesses and the nymphs, in tamarisks and staghorns' pink beds, daphnes and lilacs, crimson shades, viburnums, dark berries, purple sand cherries, buckthorns and alders' red berries, sing the songs of the sun-strewn blaze. In aspens and hornbeams, maples and poplars' heads, like the maenads, wind Orpheus's music sees, in flowers and fruits, playing the Phrygian flutes, the maidens of light, in love for Orpheus, beat their breasts. The melodies tipping off the leaves, the ripples sounding with breeze, the air changing sounds into harmonies, light falling through the air as the notes from his lyre, Orpheus, Orpheus, singing the seeds, stones turning as the silences hymn, the spears in the hands of the maidens of dream, tearing open the seeds from the rinds, the golden sun's pollen-laden stamen. The magical life's golden wand, bringing back the beauty of life like Hermes' wand, keep man awake as well as bring him in trance. In yellow, white, blue, orange, and red, where the maenad's weapons rip open Orpheus's flesh, in sappy foliage, the green wood ooze in pain, in leaf-decked shades, in the crimson blood dripping in the flesh, a poetic soul moves clad in light and wearing a human shape. O Orpheus, dream-born poetic blaze, O singing eternal skylark, the lightning clouds soaring hymnal chorus in flame. What thou art, what thou make, reverberate in the wind as music of life on the earth, as springing grass, blossoming flower, orchids of light and love's beauteous flame. Where the west wind plays with silvery dew, Cupid's arrows feel and touch the heart in innumerable hues. In the earth's dark breast, where dream has risen from its wintry rest, flowers and herbs feel and breathe, poppies and pansies, daffodils and daisies, Virginia and Canterbury bells, tulips, statis, dithonia, speedwells gather in the light with asphodel. Veronica wipe the blood dripping from the sky's blue bright face, like Orpheus bringing back Eurydice from Hades. Hyacinth, jessamine, narcissus, reflecting in the pool of light its face. From Adonis's blood, anemone, springing as symbols of the mortal's love for the aphrodisiac maid. The lily of the vales, letting the dew fall in time and space from the tremulous bells. The bleeding hearts drooping in the eyes covered with pinkish veil. Unveil the beauty who has risen from the dead, from a state lifeless and pale. O wild flowers, the senses' buds, the springing mornings, camellia, nemophilia, persilia, love-torn Orphelia, life's radiance, ardour and dust. O flowers-strewn grass, awakened Earth's incantation in verse, in scents and odors, in hues of colors that the eyelids pass. Spark, spark, send brighter and brighter luminous sparks, O verbena, anise, basil, bays and sweets. O who grow amidst weeds, in rain and clouds, in commotion, who burst forth through seeds, while Orpheus bleeds. The music of life brings forth herbs and hybrids. O forest filled with scents, fragrances of flowers, herbs, shrubs and trees, in a world once in sleep, where through darting beams fly insects swift and free, in awakening feet of worms, snails, slugs and bees, I hear the footsteps of Orpheus's beloved Eurydice.